morning to you all, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Prayer, I just want to give you two great news. One is that this church has accomplished 90 weeks on the studies of the Gospel of John, paragraph by paragraph, 1 year and 38 weeks. And I think the teachers are enriched in the knowledge of what Christ has to say, from follow me of John 1:41 to the follow me of John 21, a marvelous gospel. The other thing I want to tell you is on my right, there is a flower who symbolizes a life coming to our church. Each time we have a new birth, we put the flower and ask the family to take it. And I saw in the hospital, Casey Aileen, a fantastic little baby, all right? 7 pounds and 21 inches, born to the Joby and Dana Noriel. And each time that something like this happens to people that have been here, saved in our church, and grow up in our church, my heart is thrilled, because as a pastor, that's my function, to see that you and your children will follow the Lord. And when I see that happen, what a joy for me to fulfill that one by one, this congregation has been growing and strong in the Lord. So we thank the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that you gave us one more Sunday to praise your name and to learn from your holy word. We thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to sing praises to your name. We thank you for the choir that's going to sing to you, and for the reading of God's word and the preaching of God's word. Thank you, Lord, that you commission us to proclaim these wonders of the presence of God. Lord, we are thankful that we have been 4 years after 9/11. No terrorist attack has been on America. We've been hurt and on the alert, and we are thankful for the police force and for the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and for every city who consider this a moment of being careful, because we are under attack. Father, we are grateful that at least on the south of the United States and Louisiana and Missouri, help is coming on their way. And we are grateful that people are being helped and fed and taken care. And Lord, a city remains underwater still. Bless the engineers with wisdom and the ability to see that water out of the place, and bless the medical teams that will be required to take care of so much infections and things that go on in a city like that. Thank you, Lord, for the care of America for his own people. Father, we are more than thankful because we have been blessed by a new life in our church. Casey was born after so much expectation. And Lord, thank you that Dana is good and in good health, and has good, a wonderful excitement of a new baby. And Lord, bless the grandparents too. They are so close to their home that they will be also in charge of taking care of that beautiful baby. Lord, we are grateful for our missionaries across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, and Fred in a state of recovery with a great sickness, and Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Eusebio Maritza Perez in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Abendano in Guatemala, Central America, in Martha Peretti in the Rehabilitation Center in Buenos Aires, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and the Motor Sport Vehicle, and Father soon is coming here in Laguna Seca, an activity, and Daniel will be here, and we hope to see him. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to have these missionaries who are part of our life into the field so that we can see that the gospel is spread and the good news of God is announced. Now, Father, you are an amazing God. You provide us without even ourselves thinking. And so, Father, this church has been blessed by your people who are faithful in their giving. And once again, I want to thank you for their faithfulness. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir, very much. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Psalms? If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, will you please turn to page 345? We will be reading Psalm 5, verses 1 through 12. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 5, all verses. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt not hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak falsehood. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your great mercy that you have shown sinners such as we are, and we come into your presence to worship and pray based on your grace and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are at peace because you are faithful and our trust is in you. We love you, Lord, and desire to be obedient to your will according to your word. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you that you have blessed him with a passion to learn from your word and teach it to others. Bless him, we ask, as he comes to do just that. Again, we pray that as the word taught goes out over the radio and internet and tape and CD, that it would reach not only believers in Christ, but also those who are lost, that they would believe the good news in Christ and follow him, and not come into judgment, but pass from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And as you can see, we are on Psalm 5 now. And this will conclude the first section of my studies on Psalms, and I'm going to take some issues on the government, gay marriage and all of this stuff. I'm going to address for two Sundays on October the reality of the Bible, how the Bible is in really a book that is sound and you can trust. And there are sermons not against people, there are sermons directed on the solid ground that we need to have the Bible as a ruling book in our law. Psalm 1 talks about the moral fiber of an individual. You read Psalm 1 and you can distinguish between a believer and an unbeliever. Very clever. In Psalm 2, you have the liability of your life. Who would you hear? The unbelievers or the believers? The politicians, the philosophers of the truth of God's word, Psalm 2. Psalm 3, trials, facing tough times. And no one is except of those tough times. And therefore, it is important that we read that psalm and understand how to face them. Then Psalm 4 was a prayer of a confession and the strength of God. We studied that last Sunday. And then this Sunday, we address Psalm 5, The voice of faith. I have to tell you this. The circumstances that occasion the writings of Psalm 3 and 4 are the same. The circumstances have no change of those described in Psalm 3 and in Psalm 4. David is under persecution. His son is taken over. Jerusalem is overthrown by the army of Absalom and so on. And he's on the run for his life. Are the same. But I will say the Psalm 5 is more than a prayer. Psalm 5 to me is almost like a preaching, I shall say, a preaching telling us what faith can do for you when you are under tough circumstances. And so I have divided the psalm and I have provided for you an outline so that you can listen and look into the Bible, and then later on you can check in the outline what we have said. We have the voice of the invocation. David was very formal, and he had the voice of invocation, verses 1 to 3. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday about church and music in church and singing in church. And this person said to me, well, I never heard a church today who sing from the hymn book. I said, well, you never heard Bethel Baptist then, all right? They never heard the church that sing from the hymn book. And David was a man who knew how to worship God. He was not cheap for God. So he tells us about it, and we're going to look on it in verses 1 to 3. The voice of the invocation. Then the voice of contemplation. He contemplates the situation. This is bad. But then he brings God into the picture so to have a better evaluation. And that's in verse 4. And then from verses 8 to 12 is the voice of supplication. What would David ask God to do now that he is in a tough situation? Now that he is on the run for his life, he has few men with him, that's all. Nevertheless, we learn that God supplied for him plenty food and plenty places to be. He is not in a happy moment of his life. What did he pray to God? What do you pray to God when you are under stress? I will be great, all right? So let's work together and learn a great lesson from God. Number one, the voice of supplication. He addressed God as Jehovah. Look at in verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Jehovah. Now, the King James said, Lord. The New King James said, Lord, in capital letters. And each time you see in the King James or New King James, the word Lord in capital letters is the prerogative of the translators to indicate that the name of God is his name. And his name is Jehovah. He addressed God as Jehovah. Well, what is Jehovah? Well, Jehovah is a pronunciation of the word Yahweh. And if you move your Bible to Exodus 3:14, page 37 in our Bible, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, page 37 in our Bible, you find for the first time the assignment of the word Jehovah. And Moses, remember, was asking God in Exodus 3, was asking God for a little business card so that when he go back to the people of God, he showed the people of God, see, God have hired me, I'm the president of the people. And then Moses has an idea. He said, well, what name should I say? What is your name? So that I can tell them that so-and-so has sent me. Now look at verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Yahweh. I have told you many times that in Hebrew language there is no present tense, except here. I am. And that's it. No more present tense. And he said, thus you shall say to your children of Israel, I am, send me. I am means in Hebrew everlasting, always present, almost divine. Now, there is another person who took that name upon him. If you move your Bible to John chapter 8 and verse 58, page 628. John Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 58, page 628, you will see the person that took that name in the New Testament. A lot of people, the Jehovah Witness, they worship Jehovah of the Old Testament. And there's nothing wrong with Jehovah. But happened that Jehovah, I Am, has assigned that name to the God of the Old Testament and to the God that was reflected and revealed in the New Testament. We read here in John 8, 58, Jesus said unto them, after dealing with these Pharisees, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. Now to you and me means nothing. He said, no, he should say I was, but he said, no, I am. Now look at verse 59, what happened? They were Jews listening. And in verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him because he was this. He's saying, what was he saying? He was saying, before Abraham was, I'm God. Wow. Those Jews, if Jesus was a liar, they were right in throwing him stones. Now, why is it so important that we dwell with that word I am in the Bible? And that David addressed God, oh Lord, he said, hear my words, O Jehovah. Why? Because I am is our mediator. Look in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, page 699. 1 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 5, page 699. The Bible said this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 5, page 699. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What is it? The man Christ Jesus, the I Am. See, that is why David, in his prayer, in Psalm 5, verse 1, said, give ear to my words, O Jehovah. He started his prayer with an invocation, and he addressed God as Jehovah. And when he addressed God as Jehovah, he addressed God as his intercessor. He is not going to bring any goodness of himself. He's not going to say anything about himself. He's going to depend absolutely in the goodness of Jehovah, his God. That's fantastic. That's extraordinary. That eliminates any possibility of anybody to be an intercessor. You cannot use the name of anybody to intercede for you. You have to see that you use the name of the one that has been assigned to intercede for you. If you were in the Old Testament, you say, oh, Jehovah. If you're in the New Testament, you said, oh, Lord Jesus. He addressed God as Jehovah. And if you notice, going back to Psalm 5 and in verse 1, he approached God at daybreak. Look at in verse 3, please. Look at verse 3. My voice, Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning. The word morning in Hebrew is day. So what is the word used over there? Is a day break. And for the Hebrew, it's 6 a.m. That is the 0 hour. That's how the day starts in the Hebrew clock. 6 is on the top and not 12. Because 6 is how the day starts. A day break. And what that means? That means discipline. He has an appointment with God. That's his choice. The Bible doesn't say that you have to approach God every day as a law at daybreak. Doesn't say that. But says to me that he is a man of discipline. You men have been in Navy or in the Army or in Air Force. You don't wake up at the time you want to. And this is what it is. David used discipline. Is that discipline carry on in the New Testament? Yes, it is. Let's go to the Gospel, the book of Acts. in chapter 3, in verse 1. After the Gospel of John, they have the book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse 1. Look, the discipline of prayer is part of the church life. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. See, the discipline at the hour of prayer. The 9 hour. Now, remember the Hebrew calendar, the Hebrew clock. 6 o'clock is on the middle. 6 plus 9, that's 15. That will be 3 p.m. And so they said at 3 p.m. And so there is a discipline in doing this. And that's why our church, at 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday, we have the discipline of prayer. Whether you are here or in your home, we email to you the prayer request so that you can be with us. We broadcast in the internet our prayer meeting so that you can be with us, because it is important that as a pastor, I enforce to you something that is enforced by God. We need to have the discipline of collective prayer. It's not a choice. It's not an option in your life. Either you come to our church or you be in your home and you pray together. It's a discipline of prayer. And David knew that. He approached to God at a given time every day. And then he approached to God only. Look at here in Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice you shall hear at the break of the day, O Jehovah. In the morning I will direct it. And look at how the Bible do it. Verse 3, I will direct my prayer to you. Or unto thee, like the King James says. I will direct my prayer to you. That answer... questions, and people said, can I pray to the Holy Spirit? Can I pray to Jesus? Let's pray like the Bible tells us to pray. We address our prayer to you. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, do you want to know the New Testament? The question was asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. The disciple never asked Jesus, teach us how to preach. But they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus answered that question in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 9, page 564, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 is known as the Lord's Prayer, but really is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. This is the disciples' prayers. They ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And in Matthew 6 and in verse 9, Jesus said, in this manner therefore pray, our Father... in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our Father. He don't say, pray to me, pray to the Holy Spirit. He said, our Father, God. And so we direct our prayers to God. Now, this is a big change for the Jewish people. Because if you are no Jew, you say, well, it's okay. But for a Jewish person, or if you said, I want to pray to God directly, remember that they cannot do it? They have the tabernacle, and they have the people's court, and the holy place for the priest, and the prayer place of the Holy of Holies for the high priest only. And so if you were a Jew person, you say, how proud you are. Who are you? Then you want to pray to God directly. And God sees your sin, and he blow you up. And that's correct if we were in the Old Testament. But we are in the New Testament, and Jesus has changed things around. He carried my sins upon himself, and he has become my high priest. And so when I pray to God, and I close my prayer in the name of Jesus, it's not a formula. It's saying, this prayer, these anxieties, these circumstances, these praises to you are done in the name of the high priest that I got, and it's Jesus, and was approved by God. How do I know? Well, let's turn our Bible to the book of Hebrews. Way to the right in your Bible. I don't have the page number, but it's way to the right. And let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. And look how the Bible referred to us as the Jesus is our high priest. Chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest... who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help of need. And so, it's clear in verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us all fast our confession. And so when David approached God, to you, I will address my prayer to you, is because he acknowledged that God has provided an intercessor for him. He's a sinner. And he alone can withstand a holy God, as you're going to see it in a minute, how holy is God. And therefore, to cover himself, he don't put money in the temple. He don't say, I did these good works. Oh, I walked so many miles. He said, to you, God, you are my protector. You are the only one. Don't look to anybody else. Just look to him. Jesus has been provided. You know, mankind, the Bible tells us in Romans that God put a little chip inside the head of every baby born, and that baby knows there is a God. Doesn't know who is it, but the baby knows there is a God. And as I talk to people, they said to me, well, we believe in God. I say, who is his name? What is his name? He said, well, God. Is your God only? Can your God be my God? Well, you know, God, and they had no idea. And I said, why do you say you believe in God? And they said, well, we believe in God. I said, you know why you say it? Because God put that chip in you, and you're going to escape that. That makes you guilty. Because you have to find out, who is your God? Who is your God? Is the God of this world? Is the God of money? Is the God of pleasure? Is the God of immorality? Who is your God? My God is Jehovah. Is Jesus, the one who, in love, extreme love, with no reason whatsoever, had paid for my sins. And one day, reading the scripture, I find out it was true. How? I don't know. But I find out it was true. And I believe it. And now I'm covered. I have a high priest who doesn't die every 10 years or 15 years. This high priest is forever. And it's sitting down, so the book of Hebrews, I hope I have 2 hours for you, because I love to talk about the high priest. He's sitting down at the right hand of, of God the Father. 3 times the Bible said that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 and so on. He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. You go to Romans 8, verse 34, says, and he's interceding for you. Is Jesus Christ your God? That's the question. It's not about Baptists, about Methodists, about Pentecostals. No. The question is clever. Is Jesus Christ your God? Some people say, oh, he's a great teacher. Yes, sir. Oh, he was a compassionate man. The Bible says that in Matthew 6, 34. He was a man full of compassion. But is he your God? And if Jesus is not your God, you have no intercessor. And you have no intercessor, you cannot pray. If you're a Jew, you know that. You don't go to the temple to pray. You need an intercessor to pray for you. If you have no an intercessor, you cannot pray. So David, in Psalm 5, going back to Psalm 5, verses 1 to 3, the voice of invocation. He addressed God as his intercessor, Jehovah. He approached God in a disciplinary manner. And then he approached God, Jehovah, only. This man knew God. Now the voice of contemplation, verse 4. Verse 4 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. So let's look into that. The contemplation of the holiness of God. No pleasure in sin. You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. God have no pleasure in sin. You know, sin is very attractive. Very attractive. Very disturbing. That's why I'm so glad the book of Revelation 21 said that nothing corrupted will be in heaven. So when we are in heaven, there is nothing that will attract us to sin, because there is no sin available. But when we are in this world, there is sin every inch of the way. And me and you.
to disturb us. But God had no pleasure in sin. That's how he, how holy is God. Had no pleasure in sin. Had no, his mind would never embother in sin. But also, as we contemplate his holiness, he also addressed our holiness. Look at verse 4 again. For you are not a God who take pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. There is no anything evil in you. Like what? Well, he explained it. Verse 5 and verse 6. Look at this. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. That, the word boastful in Hebrew, the word the flashy one. We call that proud. Flashy. All right? Proud. God does not stand anybody who is proud. He knocked it down like that. In no time. Don't stand before him. You hate all workers of iniquity. That's malice. When you have bad intentions in doing something wrong. I don't know your football, and I don't know that crazy guy with the stick to hit the ball over there. That's beyond my imagination what they're trying to do. But I tell you something. I know soccer. I was a player. And you don't want the referee come right to you. And when they come right to you, it's like army or navy or police. You put your hands on the back. You say, yes, sir. And he raised a red tag to you. Only you get penalized for $10,000, $15,000. You lose time to work. And it's in your record that you have acted in malice in that play. And God also raised your red card, malice. In verse 5 is God raising the red card. You say, oh, no, no. Out of business. No malice with God. Verse 6, you shall destroy those who speak falsehood, liars. God cannot stand a lie. Verse 6, the Lord abhor the bloodthirsty, that the uncontrolled behavior, people who kill for killing, and then craftiness, deceitful man, craftiness. So you can see that God is a holy God. And as David contemplates God in his prayer, he sees the holiness of God. He cannot stand the proud people. He cannot stand malice and lies and uncontrolled behavior and craftiness. There are some people, even Christians, who don't see carefully what the Bible says about behavior. And they say, well, you know, I have this nerve, I have this temper. God doesn't care about that. If you're a Christian, you have to be under control. You have to be under control. You don't have to be a psychiatrist to be under control. You're a Christian who has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will control you. And so God is holy. You see how it is? The common sins of mankind are not in God's agenda. God have no pleasure in any one of those. Boy, I wish that you and I will look to that and say, neither I want nothing to do with that. Neither I. Then the voice of supplication. The voice of invocation, the splendor of a great God, the voice of contemplation, the greatness of a great God, and now the voice of supplication. Now, God, I'm going to tell you now, I'm in trouble. And I want you, listen carefully what he said. Lord, I'm in trouble. My own son, he never prayed against his son. Was his chief officer who killed his son. And David killed him for killing his son. But his son needed to be killed because his son wanted to kill David. A real complicated mess in 1 Samuel. But he was a father, you know. His son is against him. He's a father. He knew that that man was a rebel, but he was a father. And his love overwhelmed. What did he pray for? Well, verse 8, supplication for divine direction. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. It's not the first thing we need to pray before we take an action. Lord, I want your leadership in this. I'm in this way. I want to do this move. I was talking to my nephew intensively yesterday as he going to plan a big move, moving from, had no jobs in this state, and his wife got a promotion, need to go to Chicago. And he and I sit across the table. He said, I battled this for 8-9 months. And now he said, I think this is time to move. And how do we talk to my parents? See, Spanish people are tied like this. And there is not even a dream in his parents that he will go 4 hours away in a plane. A dream that his father came to me and said, how can that be? That I will not drive and pass by my son's house. And he cried with all his heart. And I arrived home 2 o'clock in the morning after talking and talking to people. Is this, I said, Henry, it's only one thing. We have to get God's direction. He said, how you do that? That's a good question. How you do that? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, page 693. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, page 693. Let me start reading verse 9, Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The leading of God is not your ideas, is when you take a decision that pleases God. Now, you said, well, I know what pleases God for my life. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105, page 381. Psalm 119, in verse 105. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet. That's today, all right? A lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. You know, the Jewish people do not have flashlight. So how a rich person will walk in downtown Jerusalem in the night? He has his slave. He has two sticks on his leg, and on the end of the sticks there were two candles. And he was walking like this. And as he walked, he light the path where he is. He lights where he is, and he lights the path where he goes. And that's how the psalm is written. Psalm 119, perhaps Ezra wrote that. And seeing the person, seeing the slave, lightening the way one step at a time. God will never give you all the answers to the end. You will never have a plan of God where you say, I start here and I end here. Never, never. But God will give you one direction. And then when you fulfill that direction, he give you the next direction. And when you fulfill that direction, he give you the next direction. Listen, some people move from the state. And I was a good instrument to talk to my family because I moved from a different country. I remember the day that I came home with a bonus for salary. I was teaching in the university and they gave me a bonus, 20,000 pesos bonus. I said, what do I do with this? Oh, you save this for 20 years, it's 25% interest. And how my little baby Miriam eat milk tomorrow? So with that way it is. And you sign a contract with the university and you go to jail if you do not fulfill. So I came home. I sit down with Raquel and I said, we go. Raquel said, where we go? She thought we're going to go visit somebody. I said, where we go? We go to Germany. Germany. Remember? Berlin is still at that time. Go to Germany. Let me go to the German embassy. I went the next day to the German embassy with all my curriculums and my player. 1 week later, the ambassador called, done. You go right there in the middle of chaos in the capital of Germany. Come home fast, happy. Say, we got it, everything. We sell the house and everything. Say, where are we going? The Germans said, no, we don't go. Now, when you are married, it's difficult because you cannot take decisions by your own. That's what the Bible said. The two are one. So if God is on it, then both have to agree. And so I look on it, and I went to another embassy, United States Embassy. And I said to the ambassador, I need to go. I spent 12 years in university for nothing. They give me this bonus. And they said, well, you need a friend in the United States to sponsor. Leave your curriculum here. The day you bring the name of the sponsor, that's it. I pray. But me, I start selling. I sold the sofa. I sold this. My house was empty. I'm going. And one day, I was directing a big building. And somebody said, how do you like to go to the United States? I said, really? Yeah. He said, my uncle played in 1930s soccer, like you play in the 50s. And you write a letter to him, and he will be delighted to have you with him. So your uncle doesn't know me, Mr. Franken. You write to him. And I wrote to him. But I made a mistake. I put in the address, Alameda, Alabama. For 9 months, that letter went around the United States, never in California, and went back. I got the letter back. So I got a bigger envelope, and I said, sorry, miss your address, send it back. He got his letter. He's a wealthy man. He went to his pastor and said, now look, my nephew said, this is a man, and I sympathize. He plays soccer. I play soccer. I could sign for him. He had to put $25,000 in 1964 for me. What should I do? And the pastor said, well, you know what you said. You tell him, I cannot do it very, very sorry, very, I cannot do it goodbye, and he doesn't know. My friend, Mr. Franken, said, but God knows. I can. Is not that the believer? But God knows that I can, he said. And so he prayed with his wife, and when both were together, 2 months later, the ambassador called again, said, you say you have no friends? I have a check in my hand of $25,000, guaranteed that you will never ask for the welfare, anything, that you will work in my country. You need to leave in 12 days. And whatever it is, I told myself, I leave everything here, and my family took care of the house and the rest. Boy, when you got God, the divine direction, I tell people, when God opened the doors, the hinges blew away. You know that God is on it. He prayed for divine direction. Lead me, O Lord. Then he prayed for supplication of justice. Look in verse 9 and 10. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Verse 10, pronounce them guilty. That's the word pronounce. Asha. Declare those people guilty. He asked for divine justice. Never take justice in your hand. Look at what Romans chapter 12 says in page 688. Romans chapter 12. Never take justice in your own hand. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And look at how wonderful verse 21 is saying to you, don't lose your time in fighting. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not plan any strategic evil against anybody. Just pray, God, you know I'm right before good. You know my heart is right. You know my conscience is right. God, take action. I pray many times like that. And God did. Supplication of divine justice. And never forget verse 12 in Psalm 5. Supplication for divine protection. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Wow. This man really knows God, don't he? Now, do you have that kind of faith? Because you don't see God. God's in an office. You just have to believe it. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. And remember what Proverbs said, the blessings of the Lord do not add sadness to our life. The blessings of the Lord never add sadness to your life. So you know when the Lord is blessing you. What I'm saying to you is this. People of God, faith is very, very important. Not just faith to believe that Jesus is God and your Savior, but faith to believe the Word of God, that God will lead you. And if you're a human being, every day is a trial. Whether you're in the freeway, in your work, or a student, it is a trial. But God is with us. So if I have to wrap up the sermon and put it together like a nutshell, I will use 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, page 719. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Look at what the Bible says. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And by the way, when I took the decision to come to America, the whole family panicked. And Raquel did something special for me. Listen to nobody. I was blessed. My wife listened to nobody. She said, wherever you go, I go. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, they overcome the world. What is the victory? Our faith. Our faith. I tell people, and I told Henry, you believe that God is leading you to Chicago. I ask her, you believe that God is leading you to Chicago? Say, yes. Well, do it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Maybe not. Do it. If God says so to you, just do it. My comments are unnecessary. I'm no God. Same for all of you. Whatever you have to do, do it. But be sure that God is on it. Because if God is on it, you're going to be blessed. Blessed as you never imagined. My wife and I being blessed. Maybe some of you don't know, but I've been blessed to support my mother for 7 years. There is no social security in Argentina. There is no welfare in Argentina. The family needs to take care of the family. And so when my father passed away, the state froze the access. My mother called and said, son, you know what you have to do. And my wife said, yes. I said to my wife, we're going to assign some money of our salary for mama. And she said yes. And I knew there was a God. When my brother-in-law passed away, a man that I loved him so much, married to the oldest of my wife's sister, and they were no wealthy, her, Evangelina, need assistance. And I said to Raquel, here we are. And we were able to pass a salary. On the top of our tithe to the church and all these, we limited our income so that we can support that family. And she passed away, and our heart rejoiced that we have done our job. Be sure you have done your job before God. You will never repent it. You will be so glad to do it. But have faith. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful exhortation that you gave us this morning to have faith. A faith that will overcome the obstacles of life. A faith that will be so strong and so wonderful that we will be able to face tomorrow with the hopes of today. Lord, be with us, each one of us. You have plans for each one of us in different ways. Cause us to be sure that this is the way you move us. And then when the move is done or when the decision is taken and everything is under control, let us be careful to say, God, how great thou art, as we sing today. So, Lord, here we are. Give us direction. Lead us, as David said, and the rest will be history. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
I trust in God forever.
For the benediction. Remind you the deacons to make right away to the conference room and with Brother Greg. Let's pray together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, makes you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.